The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into today's edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. We'll kick things off with the late game in La Liga. Atletico Madrid taking on Rayo Vallecano. Koke's goal 4 minutes into the second half would prove to be enough to see Atleti take all 3 points. And just taking a look at what that means with regards to their position in the table. They're up to third now, 3 points clear of Barcelona, of course, in action against Real Madrid tomorrow in El Clasico. This isn't a game that I imagine they would sell many DVDs of they were to publish some, Ali, but Atleti won't care because obviously they get the job done.
It was an uncomfortable game for Atletico Madrid for long periods of time. And as much as they seemed to be the better team on the ball, more comfortable when Joao Felix was getting involved and much more possession through the midfield than whatever Rayo Vallecano was trying to put forth, you never got the sense that Atletico Madrid was all that comfortable. And yet you get a goal from somebody who you're not expecting, because you're not expecting Koke to be the difference maker for you. He makes a rare appearance inside the 18-yard box. Nice little give and go. Poor defending from Rayo Vallecano. You take advantage of it. You find that goal. And then you did just enough defensively. Yep. And as much as we have loved some of the things that Atletico Madrid have done over the last couple of weeks, because it's getting back to where Atletico Madrid were in the past and they're defending better, you also have to say this is just beating Rayo Vallecano, just like it was just beating Cadiz. But this sort of matches, early on in the season, Atletico Madrid was either drawing or losing. So if you're Diego Simeone, you continue to build on this, and this is momentum moving forward.
Yeah, momentum, the key word, isn't it? As we welcome in Sid Lowe, who is pitch side for this game. Momentum for Atleti, Sid.
Absolutely. We were talking about it pre-game. That was 5 wins out of 6. Of course, it's now 6 out of 7. The only one they didn't win was that draw against Manchester United, when they actually played very well at the Metropolitano. And as I say, that idea of something building. And more than anything else, I think the idea that there is an identity that's starting to consolidate a little bit. It's starting to solidify, that there's a sense now that the players know exactly where this is going. Now, there may well be one or two who don't necessarily want it to go in that direction, but they now know that it will, and there are no half measures from that point of view. And look, again, when we analyse games, you look at them and you see them through the prism of the result, but sometimes the game itself doesn't convince you. This feels like another one of those nights, as it did against Cardiff last time round.
Of course, tomorrow is all about El Clasico. Real Madrid taking on Barcelona. That game exclusively live on ESPN Plus. Coverage will start at 3 p.m. Eastern. Sid, let's just head back to you, shall we? Of course, the big news coming out ahead of this game: Karim Benzema out with that calf injury that he picked up in the win against Mallorca. The big question is, who's going to replace him?
Well, Carlo Ancelotti was talking through the options today in the pre-match press conference, and he gave rather a lot of options. He gave options that maybe would surprise you. He pointed out that he played with Isco at the top of the pitch. He pointed out that he played Marco Asensio as a false nine. Jovic would be a natural candidate. He mentioned Gareth Bale, and I think everyone in Britain thought, oh, Gareth Bale, that would be interesting. My guess is that he will add an extra midfielder and that he will play Jovic up front.
What would you do?
Does Jovic he have a pulse? Is he still around? Huh? Are you kidding me? Jovic cannot be the answer.
No.
Look, if I'm a Real Madrid fan, and I'm thinking about all the options possibly for Real Madrid, man, Jovic would be last on that list. I will reshuffle all sorts of different things instead of having Jovic out there, simply because of what I've seen and haven't seen from him. And when I say, does he have a pulse, it's because at times, this guy's body language, you would think that he is playing in some sort of Sunday league with his friends. And this is Real Madrid, opportunity of a lifetime. And whenever he does get his chances, he's just kind of like, all right, this is cool. This is a nice experience.
So we've got rid of Jovic.
Right, Ken? Okay.
He's off the list.
Uh-huh. The list is not great. You're not giving me much.
No.
No. I'm not working with a lot. But if I'm Carlo Ancelotti, I'm saying, who are the players that I trust? And obviously, he trusts Rodrigo coming off the bench. He has done that regularly. Maybe Rodrigo comes on the field and Asensio, who's also been a player who has been important for Real Madrid, will play in that sort of false nine position. That's what I would do. I'm not trusting anybody else because, honestly, they haven't given me any reason to believe that they can do the job. There's a reason as to why these guys are not playing consistently. There's been plenty of opportunities for Carlo Ancelotti to rotate. And believe me, while we think that Carlo Ancelotti is just enamored with his starting 11, yeah, maybe so. But he's also not in love with what he has available coming off the bench. And so therefore, he has to settle with his starting 11 and said, okay, guys, hey, hang on for as long as you possibly can. So if I'm Ancelotti, I'm trusting from what I've seen from this team, and I'm going to say Rodrigo on the right-hand side, Asensio false nine.
I'm thinking back to that first leg against PSG, Sid, where all the talk was about Karim Benzema and his fitness. Obviously, he was risked for that tie. What is telling maybe going into the game tomorrow is the fact that Carlo Ancelotti is going to rest him, with obviously the priority being the Champions League, given the lead they have at the top of the table.
And that is exactly why I don't think any Real Madrid fan is looking at this and thinking, oh, what a disaster. What a disaster that Karim Benzema can't play in the Clásico. In fact, I actually genuinely believe there are a lot of Real Madrid fans who are very pleased about this. Are very pleased that Ancelotti has looked at this and thought, I don't take the risk. I do not risk Karim Benzema, given the 10-point lead at the top of the table, given the fact that they're 15 points ahead of Barcelona. There is no point, because it's the Champions League that really matters. And as you say, we saw in Paris that Benzema wasn't fully fit. Ancelotti had said before the second leg, there's no way Toni Kroos plays unless he's 100%. And I think there is an element of lesson learnt, and more than anything else now, an element of prioritisation, given what you already have in the bag in La Liga.
Sid, is there also an element, aside from a thrashing, that Real Madrid haven't got too much to lose here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult conclusion to come to because it's the Clásico and it always matters. But fundamentally, I agree with you. I think Real Madrid don't have a huge amount to lose. Now, they will be disappointed, of course, if Barcelona beat them. They will feel that there's if you like, the break of that run, because bear in mind, it's five Clásicos in a row now that Real Madrid have won against Barcelona, a real sense of superiority. And they won't want to give Barcelona the feeling that they can now compete again, that Barcelona are on their way back. But fundamentally, when they take a step back from it, I think you're right, there isn't a huge amount to lose. I mean, Ancelotti was asked, I think it was last week after the Mallorca game, how could you possibly lose a league from this position with 10 games to go and you've got a 10-point lead? And he said, well, how could you possibly lose a European Cup final when you're 3-0 up? So he knows that it's not impossible to lose this league, but it's very, very unlikely.
And that's the thing, isn't it? From a Real Madrid perspective, they're going into this very differently than Barcelona, mm-hmm. who want to show, look, we're back. Mm-hmm. What we've achieved over the last couple of months has kind of silenced a lot of our critics. And to take that one step closer, we go into the league leaders, our big rivals, mm-hmm. and take 3 points back to Catalonia.
And it's all set up perfectly for Barcelona, given their own success. Yeah, you beat Osasuna last week. Okay, now we're setting up the week. Galatasaray away, you go and beat them. All right, we advance in Europa League. And now at the end of the week to close it out, El Clásico. So you build the momentum necessary to get to El Clásico feeling good about yourself. And this is where I think, even though there's not much to lose here for Real Madrid, there's an opportunity for Real Madrid to say...
Reality check.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. You can beat Osasuna all you want.
Yeah.
You can beat Galatasaray all you want. Come and play with the big people here, with the big boys. Come and sit at the big boy table. Huh? Do you have it in you to come into Bernabeu and get a result? And it's an opportunity for Real Madrid to step on Barcelona and say, you're not quite what you think you are just yet. A chance, an opportunity. Now, that opportunity dwindles with the fact that Karim Benzema is not available because it changes the way that Real Madrid can play in the final third. And yet I think it's El Clásico. It's always important. It always matters.
Let's go back, shall we, to Raúl Vallecano. Oh, look at this.
Oh, what was it?
A man of surely.
Oh, yes.
I'm surprised he's just not mobbed by fans.
Oh, yes.
At the club, of course, where he played for two seasons. I don't think Casey can hear us, or he's ignoring us.
I think he's ignoring us at this point.
So you're going to have to do this interview.
Okay. What would you like me to ask?
Professional Sid. Professional Sid.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I'm trying to work out if Casey is just ignoring you or can't hear you.
I can't hear him.
You can't hear them.
Hey, sometimes I can hear Pete. Hey, guys.
It's
what's
very,
up?
Very, very much better that way around, trust me.
Hey, Casey, how's it being back, mate?
It's a time warp. This place has not changed, I think, since 1968. So it's exactly the same.
Was that an endorsement? I don't think that was an endorsement.
That's not an endorsement, no.
You know what? It's not an endorsement, but it is part of what makes this place great.
Absolutely.
The fact that this
is a
ground...
I don't know if it makes it great, but it makes it what it is.
It makes it what it is, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so for example, we were talking about this, weren't we, pre-game, that we've had two or three times this year that opposition managers have come here and they said, the pitch is terrible, you can't play good football on this pitch. You go, well, who wants to play good football? That's not the point of this place.
That was the whole idea when we played here. Make it difficult for the opposition, put them in an uncomfortable position.
Yeah. Casey, are they flying you home tonight now, or do you get to see the Clásico? Was this it for you?
No, I think I get to hang out. I think I actually get to be pitch side tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. That'll be fun.
Oh, very nice. We were talking about the fact, obviously, Benzema's out, a massive blow for Real Madrid. Have Barcelona got more to lose in your eyes than Real Madrid, given their situations going into this tie, Casey?
No, I don't think so, because, I mean, Real Madrid are the favorites. They've got the lead at the top. I think it's been a great recovery from Barcelona, and for them it's a matter of pride and obviously to secure Champions League for next year. When you're in financial trouble, the last thing you want to do is give up those Champions League dollars. So it's been a great recovery, but the last thing that Real Madrid wants to do is lose to Barcelona again at home.
And what's the plan tonight, Casey? You and Rob Palmer out in the town?
Well, I'm sure McManaman will be leading the charge, so we'll get back to the hotel and see what's up.
One thing that should be made very clear at this point, Dan, is that your recommendation for a karaoke joint has been chucked in the bin. No one's going anywhere near it.
No, we can't, because we don't have the quality of his singing not there.
You know, the thing is, if we do walk in there, we'll walk in there and we'll see framed pictures of Dan Thomas
true.
On the wall.
And
you won't be allowed to touch that mic. That was Dan's mic. Don't touch that mic. Yep. That is the Thomas microphone.
That was the golden mic drop that Dan
Speaking
left.
Of time warps, I think Cher's laser karaoke down there in Santana would definitely take you back in time.
That's the one. That is very, very close to the hotel where everything has been set up for this weekend.
Yeah.
And that was the point. We're like, we are within listening distance from that karaoke.
Oh, did we go there together ever?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes.
I would like to point out at this point that I just watched. I didn't sing. Because the whole point of karaoke is you're supposed to go there and sing badly. Dan turns up and sings properly. And it's just, the whole thing's just completely wasted. At that point.
Don't worry. I'm here with Ali today. It's great.
Yes. What could possibly go wrong?
Let's get some predictions, boys, for tomorrow. Casey?
I think it'll be a draw. I think it probably 1-1 or 2-2, because I just think it's when you look at Real Madrid in the last few weeks, they're just finding ways. It's not as comprehensive as you would assume, but they're finding ways to get results. And obviously this resurgence of Barcelona, but I just don't think they have the quality to do it.
You can't steal 2-2 because Sid says that ahead of every game.
He knows. You don't even need to ask me anymore. You just know it's going to be a 2-2.
I know. Disappointing. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much, guys. Enjoy your evening and indeed the match tomorrow, which is exclusively live here on ESPN Plus with coverage starting at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
In the FA Cup quarterfinals, Chelsea taking on Middlesbrough. Chelsea getting it done comfortably. First half goals from Ziyech and Lukaku, enough to see them through to the semi-finals. For more on this, Don Hutchinson joins us. Don, Middlesbrough, of course, a potential team to cause the upset here, but Chelsea getting it done.
Yeah, it was the Mason Mount show, Dan. Ali, he was incredible today. Got in between the lines. I thought Middlesbrough done quite well early on, trying to pressurise Chelsea. But Chelsea's quality, Thiago Silva, another player that deserves a mention, was so calm and cool at the back. He never panicked. But you talk about levels, and that's what this game was today. Chelsea just went through the gears early on. As soon as they got the first goal, the second goal, the game was finished. But, you know, all the noise that's been going on, and Thomas Tuchel keeps referencing that noise. He went, the players lately are doing an incredible job, focusing on the job in hand.
You talked about levels, Don. Is this Lukaku's level these days?
Tough one. Listen, Dan, he's going for a bad time. We've all been there. Hopefully that goal gives him a little bit of confidence. I was at the Luton game, as you know, a couple of weeks back in the Cup, and he scored in that game as well, and he never really kicked on. I'm not sure how he really comes back from it, Dan, to be honest. You know, when he didn't get on the pitch in the Premier League against Burnley, I was thinking, you know, how does he not get on the pitch against Burnley? His confidence must be shot. He must be rock bottom. He must be knocking on Thomas Tuchel's door thinking, come on, what's going on? I can't even get off the bench against Burnley. Close to a £100 million player. I was supposed to be the man that fired us to a title. It's difficult to see how he gets in the starting 11 at the moment, the form of Kai Havertz. So he's got it all on to try and have a future at Chelsea.
Yeah, that's the whole point, isn't it, Don? You take a look at it and you look at the form without him in the starting 11 and they're getting the job done and you score against Middlesbrough. Granted, you know, you give yourself a little bit of an argument, but overall, going into that Brentford game, Chelsea's next Premier League match, he's not going to start.
No, and then the big games coming up, the Champions League games. That's the worry, because Lukaku was brought in to get Chelsea close to titles. He was brought in to be the man in the Champions League, the man that's going to make a difference. It's a horrible feeling when you're the man that's coming off the bench to play in an FA Cup game. And the FA Cup's huge. But I think Ali, as an ex-player, will try and understand what I'm trying to say. When you're the sort of second, if you're the bit part player that's coming in just to play in the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup, then the big games come around and the manager goes, thank you, but you're back on the bench because there's better players than you. That's very hard for a pro to deal with.
It is difficult to deal with, but I think at this point it's very clear for Romelu Lukaku that he's got two options. Either he sulks and then just sits there on the bench and accepts this position, or he competes and he performs to the level that he was expected to perform at. And that indeed is an opportunity for Romelu Lukaku and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to fight for what I think is mine, for what I think I deserve. And that's the only way that you get back in. Is by competing, is doing it in training, is doing it every day, not focusing on the fact that I'm a £100 million player. No. Focusing on the fact that the guy who's playing in front of you, he's playing better than you, at a higher level than you, and now you have to match it and you have to be better than him so that you make the decision to Thomas Tuchel a whole lot more difficult. Until you do that, you're going to sit against Burnley and you're going to look like this on the bench and you're not going to do anything that is significant or impactful for this team.
Don mentioned there, of course, for Chelsea, the Champions League, once again a possibility as they look to defend their crown. It's arguably the most difficult of the four ties to call as they've been drawn up against Real Madrid. According to the bookies, to advance, Real Madrid are favourites ahead of Chelsea. I think it's tricky. I think it's a tough one to call, Don. Overall, of course, these two teams met last year as well. Chelsea got it done quite comfortably.
They did in the semi-finals. Yeah, they did. I think this one's trickier. Chelsea, undoubtedly at the moment, are going through a rocky time and a hard time. And they're coming up against a Real Madrid side who are sitting top of La Liga, absolutely flying, ridiculously good players. You know, even the older players like Toni Kroos and Luka Modric are turning it on. They've got young players like Vinicius Jr., who's absolutely flying. They've got Benzema leading the line, who's in ridiculous form as well. So, as matchups go, it feels like a couple of massive games. I would lean slightly and ever so slightly to Real Madrid, but listen, this can go either way.
Go on, Don. Give it to us.
What do you need? A percentage? 60-40.
Wow. I thought it might be a little closer than that.
No. He only likes round numbers,
that's
all
it.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Meanwhile, a huge win for Arsenal today, beating Aston Villa by 1-0. The solitary goal coming on the half-hour mark. Saka with the finish. It would see Arsenal take the victory. And, of course, why it is so significant is the fact that now it gives them a little bit of breathing room ahead of Manchester United. 4 points the difference. They still have a game in hand as well over Rangnick's side. But you could just see, Don, couldn't you, the celebrations at the end of this game, how important a win this was for Arsenal.
Exactly that, Dan. And the performance wasn't amazing. It was good. It was professional. I thought Ben White at the back and Gabriel are striking up a really good partnership back there. Thomas Partey was excellent in the middle of the park. But some games, you've just got to graft and you've got to grind. And the form they're in, by the way, incredible form, 6 wins from the last 7. And they've only lost against Liverpool in that sort of run. And they were really good. They put in a really solid, good performance. Saka got a fantastic goal. They played well. Villa were disappointing. Stevie G said after the game, first 45 minutes, really flat, disappointing. Weren't really at the races. Second half, Villa a little bit better. But Arsenal at the moment, I mean, they're 4 points clear. They've got the momentum. They're in good form. There's relationships all over the pitch. Lacazette's playing well. Odegaard's playing well. Saka's playing well. Middle of the park, they look tight. At the back, they look strong. Of all them teams that seem to be going for that top four position, Arsenal feel like, to me, obviously they've got a 4-point cushion over Man United, but they feel more dependable. I think I can rely on Arsenal more so than the other teams chasing it.
I tell you what they feel as well, and what's striking, Don, is they feel more together than, for example, Manchester United.
Exactly that, Dan. There's a team spirit about them. You can see the manager, I mean, whether you like it or not, Arteta's jumping up and down the touchline, Simeone like it. He's leaving everything out on the pitch, which is great. The fans absolutely love that. The fans buy into it. Not sure how much the players do, but it's great. And then you see what he's doing to the young players. They're all in brilliant form. Ramsdale, you know, I think he's England's number one goalkeeper. I think he's that good at the moment, the season that he's having. And I mentioned all the guys through the spine of the side, and Kieran Tierney, Tomiyasu hasn't been playing. He's been injured. So Cedric's then jumped in. Then the young players and Lacazette, they seem really together. The momentum's certainly with them. They're not carrying any passengers whatsoever. And their form and their performances have been really, really solid.
Just a reminder, the big game in the Premier League tomorrow regarding the race for the top four. See Spurs play host to West Ham. Antonio Conte's side favourite going into that match.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
More drop points, more frustration for Inter. Just 1 win in their last 7 Serie A matches, as they could only manage a 1-1 draw against Fiorentina. And what that means, that they dropped a third in the table. Milan and Napoli both are winning today. Milan now 6 points clear of Inter at the top of the table. Let's welcome in Don is with us once again. Don, what's going wrong?
Well, it's incredible, the drop-off in form. 1 win in 7, 2 wins in 9. I mean, they're just absolutely shot to bits, Inter, at the moment. I look back at their form, Dan, at the start of the season, Inter, and the first 6 games, they scored 22 goals. They were absolutely flying. The numbers are amazing. I've looked back at their last 5 or 6 games. Apart from the 5-0 win against Salernitana, draws or 1-1 draws or 0-0 draws, you know, they just can't get any momentum going in terms of winning games, keeping clean sheets. There's not many clean sheets behind them as well. And I was chatting to a pal of mine. We were reading up about Inter last week. We'd done an Inter game last week. I think it was Torino that they played. And he was talking about an Arrigo Sacchi comment that he was making about Inzaghi. And Sacchi feels as though it's time. And listen, he's the man when you talk tactics. I would just moonwalk out that room when Arrigo Sacchi's talking tactics. He's the man you listen to. And Inter have been playing 5 at the back for quite a while. Sacchi feels as though it's time for them to go back to a 4, which would be quite radical for them, but you feel as though the sort of funk that they're in, the spiral that they're in, something's got to change because they're slipping away from the Scudetto.
And it's a Scudetto at the moment with Milan and Napoli leading the charge. Milan with that 1-0 win, Napoli 2-1, Osimhen with a brace in that game. Who's going to win it all, Don?
Oh, it's a great question, Dan. I mean, I wouldn't rule Inter out just yet. I think Milan are just favourites, fractionally. I think they've just got more than enough, or more, sorry, than Napoli, because I still look at Napoli. I think one injury to Victor Osimhen, who's one of the bright young players in world football. He's an incredible centre-forward. He got a brace at the weekend. He just gets one little injury. I'm not sure where their goals are coming from. And I looked at Milan's performance today. away at Cagliari. And off the bench, Rebic came off the bench, Zlatan came off the bench, Salamakers came off the bench. They got players that are in form. Mannion, the goalkeeper, is probably one of the best in Serie A. Tonali's flying. They've got Giroud, they've got Zlatan, they've got incredible players. Theo Hernandez at left back deserves a mention. Everyone talks about Andy Robertson being the best in the world. I think Theo Hernandez is certainly the best in the world. So when you're trying to weigh it all up, it's still going to be very, very tight. But if you push me, I would say just Milan.
Did he just go through the whole roster?
It's Wikipedia. That's what it is. Yeah. Thank you very much, Don. much appreciated. For a lot more on this, of course, be sure to check out the latest of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Monday.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Not long now then until one of the biggest matches in La Liga season. However, bad news coming out of the Real Madrid camp. Karim Benzema is out of the game after a calf strain that he picked up during their victory against Mallorca. The Frenchman's absence, of course, will be key considering how good he has been for Real Madrid this season. For more on this, let's head to the Santiago Bernabeu, shall we, and join Alexis Nunes, Ian Dark and Luis Garcia.
Thanks so much, Dan. That is a headline that's been dominating the city of Madrid, pretty much, that no Karim Benzema for this Clásico. Kind of unfortunate, though, Darky, considering the form he's been in. How much are Real Madrid going to miss him?
Oh, he's been phenomenal this season. He's 34 years of age now, 33, 34. He's been involved in over half Real Madrid's goals. You saw what he did to Paris Saint-Germain almost single-handedly in that Champions League game. So it's a massive hole that it leaves. And I mean, Barcelona have got to be very encouraged by the fact that he's missing, because they'll put somebody else in, but it won't be Karim Benzema. And he makes a lot happen.
I suppose that's the next question, Luis. Who does Carlo Ancelotti put in?
It's a big question in the one we try to answer and find a way to see who is the player who can fill in that big gap that Benzema is leaving. And definitely, it's not going to be easy. Jovi is a player who, when he's been on the field, I think he did pretty well, but he's a player who hasn't played much lately. Another one, he could be Bale, but once again, he's not a player who looks fit at the moment. And when you have to play a game like this one, even though he normally feels comfortable in big occasions, I think, my opinion, Isco is one of those special players, because he's a player who can link into the middle, a player who can keep the ball against Barcelona, that normally they're going to be more dominant, even though they're going to play here at the Real Madrid, the Santiago Bernabeu. He's a player who can give you things, can keep the ball, can combine, can bring the ball to the situations where it could be a threat for Barcelona. So there are quite two, three players who can be at the moment being picked, but difficult at the moment to decide which one is going to be the one.
And usually when we see Karim Benzema on the score sheet, we also do get to see another name, and that tends to be Vinny Jr. They have been an absolutely lethal duo in all competitions, really, this season. How big of a night should Vinny Jr. have in this moment in Benzema's absence?
Well, he's been projected to be a world star now, and I think he's going to dazzle for Brazil at the World Cup as well, by the way, at the end of the year. But I think there's a factor maybe we're missing here and in discussing this game, the fact that Barcelona played on Thursday night, a tough game away in Turkey. They've had the travel. Real Madrid have had a clear week to get ready for it. That's quite a big advantage, Luis, isn't it?
Definitely a big one, because traveling, arriving, rest. The true thing as well is that they've been doing a little bit of rotation, so it's going to have two or three players who didn't play their full 90 minutes. So the lately, Xavi looked like he's enjoying changing Frank de Jong, Pedri, Nico, Gavi play. They got a lot of player in the middle, young player who can give a lot of intensity to the game. And I think that this Real Madrid struggles in this kind of situation, Ian.
That's true. And I think when we were talking just off camera before, I know there's a lot of talk about Karim Benzema missing this one, but so is Ferland Mendy. And Luis, you actually think that that might affect Real Madrid more than Benzema's absence?
For me, I think for this game, it's not about winning, it's to not losing. I mean, for Real Madrid at the moment, just getting a point is fantastic, because Barcelona is not going to get three. The things are going to continue the same. Real Madrid is going to be at the top, and you don't lose against Barcelona in the bigger Clásico. And Mendy is one of those special players that in the back give you so much. You got Dembele probably, or Adama Traore, players who they are very quick, very fast, and they are very difficult to mark. And well, Mendy is one of those special players who can help you with that. Also, shows that at the back, he gets the ball, he can break lines with his physical position. So I think it's going to be a massive, massive player who is going to be missed during the whole game, because there is no other player that I think at the moment can stop Dembele on a big run.
Darky, what do you think? Mendy probably a bigger miss than Benzema?
No, not a bigger miss than Benzema. Nobody's a bigger miss than Benzema. We should talk as well about the effect Aubameyang is having on Barcelona. He was out in the cold. I mean, he was so far out in the cold, he was in the deep freeze, in fact, at Arsenal.
Kind of like we are now.
Yeah, it is quite cold here in Madrid. But, Aubameyang scoring nearly every game. He got another one, and his confidence is high. And Barcelona look much more of a threat with him around. And Dembele, the Maverick Dembele, suddenly showing us what he can do. So I do think they carry a big threat here.
And just quickly on that point, Luis, do you think that now Barcelona pretty much need to win this more, or want to win this more maybe than Madrid, especially with the point that the guys brought up that Madrid definitely have their eyes on the Champions League?
Yeah, definitely. They got so much points from Barcelona that they are not in a rush to get this 3 points. Barcelona is about keeping the momentum. They wanted to continue improving, of course, getting results, giving something to believe to the supporters, because this project has to continue. And it's important to, if you win a Clásico, that's going to be for the rest of the season.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Well done. Se viene el Clásico. The Clásico is coming here to Madrid, and there's no Benzema, but we're still very much expecting a party.
Thank you very much, Alexis. What a game it should be at the Santiago Bernabeu. Now, for more looking ahead to that big clash between Real Madrid and Barcelona, be sure to check out our Clásico preview special. That's available now on ESPN+. Now, it's the first of two Clásicos this week, because the women meet in the Champions League quarterfinal on Tuesday. Barca are absolutely flying, aren't they, so far this season? In the league, they've won 34 games that they've played, scoring 174 goals and conceding just 8.
Come on.
This team is full of stars, including Caroline Graham Hansen, who spoke to Gemma Soler about this upcoming clash with Real Madrid.
Yeah, it's very special. We already faced them in the Supercopa and now in the league, and now we're going to face them two times more in the Champions League. So obviously it's very special that you compete against such a rival so many times after each other, but it's a sign that they're doing stuff right to be there and compete against the best, and it's also a sign that Spain are coming closer to have more than just one good team in the European competitions.
How do you feel about this El Clásico, this tough game Xavi's squad has in Madrid?
I think Xavi has done a fantastic job so far. It's a joy to watch Barca play again, and with the young players, looks hungry for titles, for trying to create a winning team, and it's going to be very exciting to see how they're going to be tomorrow, Sunday, because they were very close in the Supercopa, and they play a type of football now that is Barcelona, and it would be amazing if they could pick the win also tomorrow.
I'm not going to ask you about the prediction of the result, but I'd like to ask you, who do you think is going to be the man of the match?
Oof, this is a tough one. Maybe Pedri. He's been amazing so far, and it's a joy to watch. So maybe Pedri.
Which men of the club do you think you are more similar to?
I don't know, everybody's joking that I'm like Dembélé, but he's too fast for me, for the world, so I don't know. It's always hard to compare players, even men with men, so even women with men, because the game is very different, but I prefer to be my own style of play, and if people enjoy watching me, I'm happy.
Barcelona, very much the team to beat, certainly in the women's game at the moment. Meanwhile, for the men, just a reminder, taking on Real Madrid tomorrow, live on ESPN+. Oh, there's another De Clásico tomorrow. Ajax taking on Feyenoord. That game live here on ESPN+ at 9:30 Eastern. It's tight, isn't it, at the top? Ajax just 2 points clear of PSV. And that is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Don is back. Ali as well, of course, to answer your tweets. Be sure to stay with us. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your questions. Ali Moreno with us here in the studio. I promise you he is. There he is. There you are. Ali's with us here in the studio.
Hello.
And Don is going for a bit of a cardigan look today, Don.
Yeah, very classy. Very classy.
Yeah, I just thought I'd go a little bit smart for the change.
Wow, very nice.
Very distinguished gentleman that he is.
Do you have patches on your cardigan?
No, I don't.
Not as class as I thought.
Oh, I'd be very professor-esque. Don, has what happened with Chelsea and all the attacks on the club in the media created an us-against-their-world mentality that has strengthened the team?
Yeah, siege mentality. I think that's exactly what's happened. And why wouldn't you try that mentality? Why wouldn't you adopt that approach? If you're inside the dressing room, you know, you're footballers, you can't really control what's going on in the outside world and the outside noise. So you just get together, you stay together. You don't leak anything from the dressing room. You make sure the harmony's good. Exactly that. Good question.
Question for all. Since El Clasico is coming up, which midfield trio do you think is the best? Modric, Casemiro, Cruz, Xavi, Busquets, Iniesta. Parentheses, never mind what they did for Spain.
No brainer.
Okay, Xavi, Busquets, Iniesta. I'm going to take that, and I'll take that today, 10 years ago, and 10 years from now.
We don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now. Who knows?
I'll still take that midfield three.
No brainer, Don?
No brainer. I can't imagine if you go back into the archives or even in the future, there'll ever be a better three than that.
Wow.
Incredible footballers.
Don, Inter are in a tailspin. Why? Who has been the biggest loss? Lukaku, Hakimi, Eriksen or Conte?
Conte, I think. I think Conte. I think the players that have got at the top end of the pitch have replaced Lukaku. I think Barella's the man who's sort of assisting Lautaro Martinez. So Dzeko's scoring goals as well, or was scoring goals before this little nightmare run that they're on. I mentioned before about the first six games, 22 goals scored. All of a sudden at the moment, they can't really buy a win. One win in seven, two winners in nine. Everyone's sort of going away from them. They've still got that game in hand, but they need to get going quick.
Lukaku's a bigger loss than Hakimi.
Lukaku?
Well, I mean, yes or no. I mean, yes, the Lukaku that was playing for Inter is a massive loss.
Yes, that's the one we're talking about.
Well, I know, but are we talking Lukaku that is at Chelsea now?
No, we're talking about the Inter Lukaku, the one they're missing. The whole question's about that.
Well, I'm just saying, if you put Barella, Lautaro Martinez, Edin Dzeko, they've still got enough there to be scoring goals. How are they not scoring
they
more than one a game?
Missed? They've missed Lukaku.
Oh, man.
Hakimi. Conte is the answer.
Don, what do you think of Gareth Southgate's England squad? You don't care, you're Scottish. Does Harry Maguire deserve a place when he's been playing poorly for club and Eric Dier has been playing so well?
Well, good question, but what should have been added to that question is young Fikayo Tomori at Milan. He's the best English centre-back on current form by a country mile, sitting top of Serie A, and I cannot believe he's not even in their squad.
Oh.
It's incredible.
Why isn't he, Don?
I've no idea. I've literally got no idea. It's not like you can say out of sight, out of mind anymore. you know, this is Italian football, one of the strongest leagues out there, and he's in incredible form, and he's top of the league. I mean, what? It's a mystery.
Well, it's not a mystery to me.
Oh,
it's very simple. It's because he's not playing the Premier League, and that's the views inside of England. Very insular view.
How dare you?
No. Yeah. And the media that would be pushing, if he were playing somewhere in the Premier League, the media that would be pushing for Tomori to be included are not making the same sort of noise because he's in Milan. So it is out of sight, out of mind.
Do they not follow Don's Twitter account?
I'm not sure the reach of Don's Twitter account, but apparently it doesn't reach far enough.
Ali, if you're Xavi, what would your midfield three look like? And would you feel comfortable with Dani Alves in the right-back position since we know he won't be able to match the pace of Vinicius Junior to track back?
But he doesn't have a choice because Sergiño Dest is injured.
Yes.
So Dani Alves is going to play. So that it's a non-starter. In terms of what midfield I would play, I would give first of all this team consistency and continuity. I think it's time. He's like the rotation and the movement and putting pieces here and there and keeping everybody happy. I think it's getting to the point to where you need to give this team continuity.
Right.
And my midfield three would be Busquets, who you know I love.
Yes.
But not as much as I love Pedri.
Yes.
Pedri and Frenkie de Jong.
Oh, because you haven't been a de Jong fan.
No, but when he's stepping inside the 18-yard box, as he's had lately, then I think he becomes a far more effective player for Barcelona.
I'm going to ask you this question, which isn't the question, but it's the question that's coming up after this question.
Okay.
Best Deadpool specialist in South American history. Think about that while I go to Don. Don, can we say the relegation battle for the Premier League is over with 99% certainty that your beloved Everton and Newcastle and Leeds are surviving?
99% certainty Everton are surviving. Wow, that's high. That's high for anyone's maths, never mind mine. No, it's not over.
No.
I would say Norwich have gone. I would say Watford will go. Then I think it's one from three, which is Burnley, Everton and Leeds, but Leeds have just gone back-to-back wins.
Yeah,
so,
Leeds
yeah, one
seven,
from those three.
Leeds are 7 points clear, aren't they, of Watford?
Yeah.
However, they've played more games than anyone. Everton are three clear of Watford.
Yeah, so at the minute, it's looking like the bottom three, Burnley, Watford, Norwich.
Ali.
Okay.
Who is the best South American Deadpool specialist of all time?
Honourable mention to Juninho Pernambucano.
Yes.
Honourable mention to Roberto Carlos, simply because of the raw power. But there's nobody. Nobody. Nobody quite like Juan Arango.
Wow.
Vamos, Venezuela! That's right. You know it and you love it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You too. Yep. Some of his goals are unbelievable.
Yep. That's
unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable, Juan Arango. Who would you go for, Don?
I don't know. I was thinking of people like Ortega. I'm not sure if he was ever a dead ball specialist. Ali, Ortega?
No. Move on, Don. No?
Jorginho's got to be it, isn't he? Away from your...
What do you mean? Juninho Pernambucano?
Yeah.
Juninho Pernambucano. Because what he brought to free kicks is what he was able to do with the ball.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was hitting a beach ball. It looked like he was hitting a volleyball. That the sort of up and down and swerving and stuff.
Yes.
That you were not seeing from others.
Yeah, I would suggest if he was Venezuelan that he would be ahead of Juan Arango.
Well, yes, but I am biased. I love my country and I love Juan Arango. Is there a problem with that? At least I admit it.
No, that's it. That's it.
And when
no
you
mention for Zico? No mention for Zico? No?
You can give him a mention.
No, but
just saying.
I've not seen your man, Ali. I've not seen your man.
You love on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know you love on YouTube. Yeah. You go on Juan Arango.
No, not Juan Arango. Go Juninho first.
Well, Juninho Pernambucano.
Yeah, exactly.
And not Juninho because.
No, but not the little Leon, guy. The Leon one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're going, yeah?
Well, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Go to that one, Don. Final question. Don, where do you rank Dan amongst the most annoying people you've ever met?
Oh, wow.
Which former player annoyed you the most?
You're not annoying. I like you, Dan, apart from that night we had in that mental bar in Connecticut. What was it called again?
Don't remember. Carry on.
And who was the most annoying player I've ever met?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yes.
Do you know what, Dan? There's a lot of guys back in the day that, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the guys will say I was annoying as well because we just all were annoying back in the day.
Right.
But if I could ever come back as a player and do and go over the top and do one player for all the players that he'd done back in the day, I would come back and I would do Kevin Muscat. Because he broke and finished about four or five Premier League players' careers.
Wow.
And was a bit of a sort of bottle job when it come to proper 50-50s. And he smashed quite a few naughty ones as well. YouTube his tackles.
Really?
Outrageous. So I would like to go back and do him just for every other pro.
Oh, go on, wow. Don. I like that. What's he doing now?
Yeah. He's managing in Australia, I think.
There you are.
Ooh, very violent, Don. I thought
Don has got an edge.
No, Ali, honestly, go and YouTube some of his tackles. They will be the most outrageous tackles you will ever see. I guarantee.
There you are, Kevin Muscat. Janinho, Kevin Muscat.
There you go.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yes.
Most annoying?
Yes.
Hercules Gomez.
Hercules when he came in.
Oh man, he just
was this at the Galaxy?
Yes, he just talks too much.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
And he's so
very excited. He's happy.
Yeah, he's happy and excited. Yes. So what are you smiling about? What's your problem? Just sit there. Don't say anything.
Stop being happy. That is it. We are done, of course.
I'm joking, Herc.
He's not joking.
I'm not.
That is it. That brings the end of today's show. Ahead, of course, what is a huge day on ESPN Plus tomorrow. You've got those three quarterfinals in the FA Cup, plus El Clasico, Real Madrid taking on Barcelona. Just sit back and enjoy.